President Mahama has refuted claims that he received $300 million as reward for agreeing to accommodate the two Guantanamo Bay detainees in Ghana. He said there is no monetary gain or whatsoever in the deal with the United States in relation to the two detainees. President Mahama assured Ghanaians that he will not do anything to compromise the security of the country, adding that adequate consideration came to bear on the decision to accommodate the detainees. The president said this when he answered questions from the media at the Flagstaff House in Accra.
With regards to Guantanamo, I'm happy you asked this question. There's no monetary consideration, and the U.S. itself would have disclosed if there was any monetary consideration. And so I've just seen in social media that I collected $300 million to accept these detainees is absolutely untrue. The detainees question was a direct request from the United States of America to my government. We have been allies with the United States for a very long time. It didn't start today. We have partnered in a lot of things, and we continue to collaborate in areas of security, in areas of training with our armed forces, in areas of defense. And so when we received a request like this, we said we will appraise it, and based on the appraisal, we will take a decision. Extensive consultation was held both internally and externally. A risk assessment was done by the U.S. itself, and these two detainees, Al-Dubi and Benatef, were considered to be the most compliant detainees in Guantanamo camp, and they were put in the lowest risk category in Guantanamo. And let me be clear, people say ex-convicts, they were never tried, they were never charged, they were never convicted. At the time they were picked up, they were 20 years old. And so 6 years ago, it was the American government decided that they should be released. And so when America asked, we decided that we would do an assessment. We did that assessment. America itself did assessment and gave us their risk category. It was the lowest risk category. It was also established that they had played no operational role in Afghanistan. Our own national security visited the camp several times and conducted extensive assessments and interviews of these detainees.
On the issue of nurses and teachers who attempted picketing at the Flagstaff House demanding postings, President Mahama explained the causes of delayed postings and said government has put stringent measures in place to halt such anomalies.
With regards to teacher trainees and nursing trainees, the Ministry of Finance gives financial clearance every year for teacher trainees to be absorbed into the service. And what we have tried to do is to ensure that all teacher trainees who are coming out of colleges of education are able to be employed immediately. It's one of the few areas where you get automatic employment. It should be the same with the nurses. Now, as a result of the removal of the quota system, we have more teachers able to go into the colleges of education to be able to train. And when they have completed, they fill out the forms to join the Ghana Education Service. The system has been a bit cumbersome in respect of the fact that by the time they are posted and their details are collected at the district level, brought to the regional level, processed at the GES headquarters, and then sent to Ministry of Finance and to the Accountant General, often time has passed. And so they would have started working because they were posted, but would not have received their salaries. And that has been the main issue with most of the teacher trainees. And so a system is being worked out where their data can be captured at the time that they are posted, so that they are allowed to provisionally be put on the payroll while the actual process of collecting the data is carried out. I believe that in the near future, this issue of people having worked for so many months without having paid would be a thing of the past. With the issue of the nursing trainees, we have two categories of nursing trainees. We have those in public nursing and midwife training institutions. And then we have people who have set up private nursing and midwife training institutions. Now, the thinking behind it is that those in the public nursing and midwife training institutions normally sign a bond, and so they should be given priority in terms of employment. And if they are employed and there's still vacancy, then you can take those from the private training institutions so that the rest of those from the private training institutions can serve as the private sector. For some time, there has been some error in the Human Resource Department of the Ministry of Health, where some priority has been given to privately trained nurses at the expense of publicly trained nurses. And that is what has created some of the problem we have. So nurses that we have bonded and trained with public money have not been able to be employed while priority was given to those who were trained in private institutions. And so strict instructions have been given that those who train in public institutions must be given the first order of priority. And I think that the Ministry of Health has made some changes in the Human Resource Department. And so once we're able to absorb this last batch of them, I think that this issue of them coming to picket my office would be a thing of the past.
Still on teachers, President Mahama says promises made by some political parties to restore teacher training allowances is political talk which cannot materialize. He said there was no problem at the time. The colleges of education were not tertiary degree awarding institutions since they were being trained as professional teachers. However, since they have now been raised to the level of tertiary and degree awarding institutions, they cannot be paid allowances. He stated that the banning of quota and allowances has increased teacher trainees enrollment to 63%, which he said is encouraging. President Mahama said it is not necessary to inject politics into policy making.
About teacher trainees, let's take the politics away. I know that political contest is keen, and so everybody wants to take advantage to be able to overcome their political opponents. Otherwise, this is purely political talk. We had teacher training institutions that could not fill their spaces because they were under a quota system. And so in all the teacher training institutions, we had only 9,000 students who were under training, and we paid them allowances to train. It was an incentive for them to train. Now there are two issues here. Teacher training takes place in the colleges of education and also takes place in University of Education Winneba and University of Cape Coast. At the time, the colleges of education were not tertiary degree awarding institutions. There was no problem because we were training professional teachers, and if we paid them an allowance, there was not a problem. But then we raised them to tertiary institutions and brought them to the same level as University of Education Winneba and University of Cape Coast, also training teachers. With the banning of the quota and the removal of the training allowances, enrollment into teacher training institutions has increased by 63%. So it means that extra 63% of students who today can go and train and be teachers and come out and get employment and work would not have had space in these teacher training institutions if we had continued to pay the teacher training allowances. That is a simple issue. From the records I have, more than 5,000 of them have wanted to access the student loan and are financing their education using the student loan, which they will pay after they have gotten employment for government over an extended period of time. And so I don't think it's necessary for us to continue to inject politics into policy making. Policy making must be consistent so that we are able to make it more predictable and more useful to our country.
On corruption, President Mahama says the Attorney General has retrieved more than 50 million cedis after he directed the AG to retrieve all monies paid allegedly to individuals. President Mahama, who has been criticized by some people for not doing enough to fight corruption, says he will continue investigating all public officials until all corrupt ones are dealt with, adding that he will not play the blame game.
We must work to reduce the amount of cash we carry in this country. And we must put the systems in place that make it difficult for people to demand bribes from us or accept bribes from us. And it's not a political issue. When we use it for politics, then we actually take away our attention from the work that needs to be done to be able to check corruption. And so that's why I say I won't play the blame game. It's my duty to continue the fight against corruption. And we'll do it. We'll continue to do it. The Attorney General and Minister of Justice is working very seriously on this matter. And she will continue to work to ensure that she retrieves any monies that anybody has taken. Since I instituted the Judgment Debt Commission, and I gave specific instructions to the Attorney General, I said, fight every judgment debt case. Since that time, the case of Sweater and Socks versus the Attorney General, the state had avoided the payment of $28.9 million as a result of the Attorney General fighting the case and refusing to pay. In the case of Ang Mote versus the Attorney General, the state has set aside a judgment that was given asking the state to pay 99 million Ghana cedis. Then in the case of China Jinling International Economic and Technical Corporation, the state was saved 352 million Ghana cedis and $1.6 million in that case. Other investigations that we're doing, and I haven't stopped any investigation, but it's a duty of the president, if it comes to my attention, to have the right investigative organization to go into it and find out if there's wrongdoing, and if there's wrongdoing, to go ahead and punish that wrongdoing.
Now, the load shedding committee is expected to be the media tomorrow on the state of the power management and challenges. President Mahama, who was answering questions on the energy crisis, said government intends to invest $1 million in ECG to improve its capacity and efficiency.
We need to plan our demand, forecast our demand, and plan generation to keep up with demand. And so what I intend to do is to fix the problem. And that is exactly what I've been working on. One of the major sectors that takes a lot of my time and attention is the power sector as president. And I must say that we have made a great effort, as close as we are, to solving the problem of Doomsom. And I'm sure that for most people, from the Christmas time, you can see a very visible improvement in terms of supply. We still have a gap. We haven't closed the gap. But I believe that in the next short while, we'll be able to overcome the problem of load shedding. I've learned to leave it to the technical people to talk about. They're having a major press briefing tomorrow. They're going to brief the press on the routine maintenance a trouble plant is going to go through. It is a scheduled maintenance, and so it means gas is going to stop flowing. So they have to retune their plants there to crude oil. And normally when the plants use crude oil, they are not as efficient, and so there can be any difficulty that arises. And so we just want Ghanaians to understand that this is what is going to happen. And I'm sure when they do that address, they will also tell you where we are currently in respect of resolving the power crisis permanently. It's estimated that we lose more than 25% of power. The power loss due to transmission should be below 15%. And so if we are losing 25 to 27% because people are not paying or people are stealing the power, then it means that you cannot collect enough money to pay the upstream generation companies. And that is why we need to restructure Electricity Company of Ghana. And under the NCC Compact, it is targeted at restructuring ECG. And let me state emphatically that ECG is not being privatized. ECG is going to continue to be a public-owned company. It will be the owner of the equipment and logistics, the transformers and things are going to belong to ECG. But then we are putting in a system that allows the private sector to contribute to collection of revenue and responding to customers' complaints and so on and so forth. And the point is, it will end up employing more people than ECG can employ. So ECG will continue to exist. We're going to inject more than $100 million into ECG. And at the same time, we're going to get private sector participation as a concession in terms of revenue collection and response to customer complaints.